Mike McNerney, narrator.
An excerpt from The Wizard's Cave by Eglinton Thorne. The gale was at its height. The wind beat in thunderous blasts from the sea, but the boys, sleeping in their cozy beds, heard nothing of the uproar. They had fallen asleep, happy in the belief that they had done something to secure the safety of those in peril on the sea, for while they slept, the thick candle they had coaxed their mother into giving them showed a brave light through the window of the tower. Every other light in the house was extinguished when two men made their way up the narrow path through the glen. There was no moon, and the way was hard to find in the darkness. Now and then, one or the other of them would stumble, uttering a fierce exclamation, which was lost in the rush of the wind. But they knew the glen fairly well, and the noisy flow of the swollen stream helped them to avoid its brink. The foremost was a short, thick-set man who wore a rough pilot coat with its collar turned up and a small fur cap. His companion was the fat-faced, burly man who had sat beside Noel on the coach. As they came nearer to Eglashale House, a bend in the glen afforded them shelter from the wind and made it possible to hear each other speak. It also enabled them to see the bright light that burned in the tower.
"Hello!" exclaimed the first man. "What on earth is the meaning of that?"
A cry of surprise and anger broke from the other.
"Don't ask me," he said. "You know more about this place than I do, Isaac." "Someone must have placed that light there, certain,"
was Isaac's reply.
"Someone may be watching there now." "It may be the old wizard himself."
An excerpt from A Fighting Man of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. My ancestors were kind to me. Little had I expected such an opportunity as this, yet I waited. Like a great banth ready to spring, I waited until he should have released Nuran, and then, as the fetters fell away from my companion, I flung myself upon the back of the warrior. He sprawled forward upon his face on the stone flagging, and as he did so, I snatched his dagger from its sheath and plunged it between his shoulder blades. With a single cry, he died. But I had no fear that the echo of the cry would carry upward out of the gloomy pits of Janath to warn his fellows upon the level above. But the fellow's companion had seen and heard, and with a bound he was across the dungeon, with his long sword ready in his hand, and now I was to see the metal of which Nuran was made. The affair had occurred so quickly, like a bolt of lightning out of a clear sky, that any man might have been excused had he been momentarily stunned into inactivity by the momentousness of my act. But Nuran was guilty of no fatal play. As though we had planned the thing together, it seemed that he leaped forward the instant I sprang for the warrior and ran to meet his companion. An excerpt from Music of the Wild by Jean Stratton Porter. Another delicious plant of the marshes is watercress. Wherever there are streams fed by springs and cold enough to harbor trout, there pungent watercress grows. The leaves and stems of this plant at its prime make one of the most appetizing and healthful salads known. It grows from 6 to 10 inches in height, with brownish dark green leaves in early spring, gradually becoming lighter as summer advances. The leaves are round and form compound clusters of from 3 to 9. The tiny white flower is insignificant. Its scientific term, Nasturtium officinale, derived from the Latin nasus meaning nose and tortus twisted, the name originating from the fact that pungent odors of the plant sting and twist sensitive organs. So extremely thrifty is this water member of the nasturtium family along creeks and cold-running water that I know large streams that are literally choked with cress running through miles of unbroken marsh. The music is threefold. There is water 10 inches deep whispering and gurgling around the stems. Bees visit the blossoms, and the human voice rings loudly and clearly when a bed is discovered in early spring, for this is just the tonic needed to thin sluggish winter blood.